now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Question, will you be that someone in the life of a person who does not yet know Jesus Christ? Will you be that someone who is going to make the difference in someone's life for eternity? We're in our series, Being Stronger Salt and Brighter Light. Last week, Pastor James gave us all these wonderful salt shakers to just put on our table. Everybody, remember? I'm going to put it on your table to remind you that God has given us opportunities to be salt. God has given us opportunities to bring flavor into people's lives, to be brighter light with the light of Jesus Christ in us. And what a great challenge that is. Today I want to talk about being intentional about making friends with people who need to know Jesus. This is living in 3D, and I'm going to explain what that means in a minute. Being intentional about making friends with people who need to know Jesus. Every one of you who has come to know Jesus Christ as Lord, at one point or many points in your life, had someone praying for you, someone loving you, someone sharing a message of hope with you, just doing something out of kindness for you to see Jesus. Now, if you haven't asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, hang on, because there'll be an opportunity even today, and we'll be talking about that in a few minutes. But Jesus wants us to live in 3D. Mike, if you want to throw up that next slide, living in 3D. So we don't miss what that is. Throw up the one with the explanation. Thank you. Living in 3D means this. Develop friendships. There we go. The second one is to discover stories. And the third one is to discern the next steps. So we'll just leave that there. We'll back up to them in order in a minute. But I want to make sure that you catch that. That's living in 3D, okay? Now, this comes from a book called Just Walk Across the Room by Bill Hybels. But I want to encourage you of what does it mean to live a life in 3D. It's an exciting life. It's an opportunity to let Jesus shine through you. Now, sometimes that's scary. And a couple weeks ago when Pastor James asked me to bring this message, I said to the Lord, God, I think you got the wrong person. I am not an evangelist. Teacher, pastor, encourager, counselor, sure. Evangelist? No. And God said, ha ha, guess what? You're the perfect person to bring this message. That's kind of the way God talks to me sometimes. So I'm sure he talks to you kind of similar too, huh? He said, you're the perfect person to bring this message because you need to know that you've got what it takes. And you need to know that you've got what it takes as well to share the love of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be called as an evangelist to share his love and be brighter light. So what is our motivation? Why should we share the love of Christ? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:14 says the love of Christ compels us. It pushes us, not out of duty, not out of pressure or guilt or obligation, but because of his great love. So ask yourself this question. How big is my God? Is my God big enough to use me? Is his love so great that I just want other people to know about it because of how I've experienced his love? How much do I feel his compassion for the hurting and the lost? Does my heart break the way God's heart breaks for the wounded, the lost, the forgotten, the lonely? Do I see God as a God of judgment and punishment? Or do I also see him as a God of mercy along with justice? Not just a God of rules, but a God of forgiveness and grace. A God who has the power to save. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. He's shown it to each one of us, and we get the chance to show it to others. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 8. And we're starting in verse 4. It says, "And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, but others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Down in verse 11, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones in the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Will you sow the seed of the word of God? Will you be one to live life in 3D? Living life in 3D, the first D is developing friendships. Develop friendships. We talked about the motivation of love. So you may think, you know, as a pastor, aren't you naturally supposed to be good at this? But, you know, honest confession, as I said before, no, not really. This is something that I can honestly say as I stand before you. I'm excited and I'm challenged to be intentional about developing friendships with unbelievers that they might see Jesus. I'm challenged in this area. You know, sometimes we can live in a bit of a Christian bubble. Just picture that. You know, you go to Dave, the Christian barber. I used to go to Dave until he told me that he could park a Cadillac on my forehead, and then I stopped going to Dave the barber. So, still love him. But you go and you buy your car from the Christian car dealer, and you find a Christian plumber. We used to have the Living Water plumber in the area. And then you find a Christian mechanic. No offense, Tom, you're a great mechanic, and I appreciate that. Great teacher as well. But you hear what I'm saying. You go on and on and on. And before long, you find yourself living in this bubble, right? Where you get up in the morning and you put on Christian music in the car and you're reading your Bible on your lunch break and you're surrounding yourself with things that build you up, and that's all good stuff to do, but you might not be bumping into people who don't know Jesus. And statistically, you find that the longer people are saved, the less contact they have with unbelievers. But it's just the opposite of the way Jesus lived. Amen. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus sat down and had lunch with them, even though people were really ticked off at him for doing that. He was a friend of prostitutes and tax collectors who were not good folks even then. I want to encourage you. You can do it. Maybe you're sitting there today and saying, I can't do that. Maybe you're saying, well, I don't know if people want to see Jesus in me. Could people see Jesus in me? And I want to say, yes, you can. And yes, they can see Jesus in you. Let him out. He's right in there. He wants to get out. Don't put things over your eyes. Let people look into your eyes. Let them see Jesus Christ in you. Be intentional about making friends with those who need Jesus. Live moment by moment for Jesus and watch and see what he's going to do. You know, for me, it makes me view my life differently. Instead of being in a hurry to find the closest parking spot at Wegmans, get in, get my stuff, get out with no hassle. You know, now you can even, in some stores, go through the automated checkout, right? The self-checkout, just like the gas station. You don't have to talk to a person. You just drive up, pump your gas, go on with your day. But now all of a sudden, I find myself challenged and excited to say, God, who would you put in my path today that I could bump shoulders in a good way, and maybe Jesus would rub off on them? And maybe there's these times that you have intentionally set for me to be friendly, to let Jesus shine, to take out that salt shaker, start praying for people. Amen. Put it on your table. The first thing you want to do is to start praying. God, help me to be friendly. Help me to get past my fear. Help me to act in a way that people would want to say what's different about you. Let it start inside of me to be that salt. Pray for people, you know, even now, who aren't saved, for opportunities to sow seeds, the seeds of the gospel. John 15 says, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay his life down for his friends. I know sometimes I've thought, you know, I really love this relationship, and I don't know if I want to risk sharing Christ with them and be rejected. And I'm left with the fact that that's a real risk. But then there's another question I have to ask. Do I want to risk this friend heading for a Christless eternity? Amen. Spending eternity without Christ, because I didn't risk sharing with them the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. Amen. And trust that God is big enough. How big is your God? How great is his love that they would be able to know that and not be forever separated? You know, sometimes you can even sow seeds just by the way that you act. By waving at the person who cuts you off in traffic and not giving them some other gesture. You know what I'm talking about. By just living in a way that shows with an attitude. Letting someone else go before you in the grocery line. Somebody was just telling me a few days ago. Pray and then look for opportunities. This is where it gets exciting. Look for the opportunities that God is opening up. And I think they're there, and we tend to miss them. I can speak for myself. I tend to miss them. Getting so busy. I'm on a mission. Oh, Jesus, you've got a mission? Oh, you want me to be a part of that mission? Oh. Look for opportunities with family members, because we all have them. Unsaved family members, with neighbors, coworkers, acquaintances. You don't live where you live by accident, or go to the school that you attend without a reason, or shop where you do just because of convenience, or work at your job just for a paycheck. God puts you where you are with a purpose. You are the only one who rubs shoulders with them, perhaps, that might give them a chance to see Jesus. The circle of your life intersects their circles with a divine purpose. God wants you to just let him out and let him shine. And you know what? You're not disqualified. You're not disqualified because of the things that happened yesterday or last week or months ago. You can stand as a child of God and know that God wants to use each and every one of us to let his light shine. How many people do you just bump into on a given day? Be intentional to share the light of Jesus in your daily interactions with people. You know, for me, that's exciting. It's a different way to live. Show that you care and look for ways to serve. One of my neighbors, Don, had lost his wife suddenly. They were both retirees, and she was in much better health, or so it appeared, than he was. And just really abruptly, she was gone. And it just devastated him to the point that his kids had to actually check him into a hospital. He had a mental breakdown. He didn't know what to do in the midst of this situation. And it was late summer that this happened, and on into fall. You know, we had conversations with the kids who were adult kids by this point, and you know, they had, you know, homes and families, and many of them were out of town, and they were having a hard time trying to take care of the house. And so one afternoon, I grabbed my kids, and we just went over and started raking up their yard just to bless them, just to be there for them. And the neighbor behind me came over, introduced himself to me, because I didn't have a chance before that to meet him. And he looked at me, and he said, "You know what? I am so impressed that your kids would actually willingly do this with you and enjoy it." He said, "I don't know if I could even ask my kids to do that. And if they did, I don't know if they would." He said, "I've just really seen something unique here today." You know what? He saw Jesus. All because we were just willing to serve another neighbor. And then days later, actually, I saw him over there with his lawnmower mowing up leaves. God had an impact. I didn't have to say a word. It's just a part of who we are and being available and being willing and showing that we care. I'm going to go back a few years ago, even before I came to work here. I worked at a law firm downtown at Harder C. Christian Emery, and I was managing a copy center. And there was a young lady who was a paralegal there named Linda. And Linda was one of those kind of people who I can say got under my skin. In the copy center, there was a consistent, steady flow of work, and some of those jobs would take days. I mean, we would be doing real estate closing for Rob Sands and Constellation Wineries that would be literally probably about a case of paper for one binder. And we would have to make five sets of those. And of course, they're all with tabs and inserts and different sizes, because you got the legal size paper, the letter size paper, and so you can't just throw it in and let the machine do it. And so I'd be in the middle of this, and then in would walk Linda and say, "I got a rush job. I need this right now." And honestly, my reaction wasn't always showing Jesus. So God had to take me to task and say, "Are you going to let Linda see me?" And this was an ongoing challenge. And it was always a rush job right now. So I started to pray for Linda. I started to pray and ask God to help me have his attitude. And I just started to be kind to Linda. And I just started to do whatever I could to get her jobs in and just go out of my way to bless her. Well, fast forward a couple years, now I'm on staff here at Joy at New Jerusalem back then. I was invited back by some of the secretaries in the law firm to a Bible study they held downtown to share about a recent missions trip that I had been on to Mexico. And so I come to this Bible study to share, and who's sitting there at the table? Linda. And God said, "See, I told you. You never know what it's going to be just by letting God work through you." And you know what an encouragement. After I picked my job off the ground, just to be there and talk with her and see what God was doing in her life. Be intentional about building friendships. I have to work not to be in a Christian bubble, okay? Because all my coworkers are saved, at least most days, I think so. And right, Terry? Most days. So I got to get up and walk across the street and go over to the auto stop, because I want to be around people who don't know Jesus and try to build some friendships. And Bruce got saved. He actually got saved before I started going over there. But there are some guys who are very colorful. There's some guys who are rough around the edges. You know, Bruce has said for years, you know, check your feelings at the door. It's just that kind of place. You know, and he's like, "Why do you keep coming over here?" And I said, "You know, because I can get treated like a piece of garbage just like everybody else." I'm just one of the guys. You know, they start cussing. They're like, "Oh, Reverend's here." And I'm like, "Hey, come on, just be yourself. You know what? Don't turn it off like it's a magic switch for me. Just be who you are." And through the process of getting to know him, when there's a need, you know, one of the young guys, Eric, comes up and said, "Would you pray for me? You know, I'm going through. Would you pray for me?" And God gives you opportunities. Just be there. Just be intentional and do it. going with the Flower City Work Camp last year, you know, unexpectedly as a sidewalk helper, and just sitting down with the kids and just loving on kids, God started to show me, you can do this. And just connecting with them and hearing them and just loving on them. Like Ariana said, the kids at Rancho de Sus Niños, just sharing the love of God with them. I just brought some balloon animals with me and a balloon pump. Now, I brought this bag of 250 balloons and grabbed a couple of the team members and said, hey, come on over, because I've done this before. As soon as you pull these out, you're going to get mobbed. So let me show you. I know how to make two balloons, two different animals. Actually, I learned one more, three. Okay, I can make a dog, el perro. I could add a long neck to that dog, el jirafa, the giraffe, okay? And then I can make a sword, because every boy wants a sword in whatever culture, whatever language you're in. Espalda. Okay, so I learned. These are the three choices that I can make. And I'd have people pumping them up, and I'd have people tying them, because you can't make them fast enough. And they're telling you what color they want, and they're telling you what different thing they want, but the kids just swarm around you. And you can't help but just love Jesus. I'm like, I can do that. You know what? You can do that. You can do that. God even connected me with the hearts of some of the kids on the team. They said, is it okay if we call you Dad? I mean, these are 17, 18-year-olds. You're Mexico Dad. They just, and as I listened to their stories, you know, just long rides from the orphanage into Tijuana and, you know, bumping up and down on the wonderful Mexico roads and just hearing about, you know, some of these kids, you know, had just gotten saved. This was huge for them to go on this trip. You know, their families were not Christian families. And just to be there was amazing. Sowing seeds of God's love. The second D in 3D living is to discover stories. As you develop friendships, just listen. Now, this isn't something I always do so well. I'm learning to hear better. Hear what people are really saying. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. As you start to listen to stories, you can start to hear, where are people at? What got them to the place where they're at? Right? How are they different from me? And are they really that different from me? Stories tell you the state of their heart, the condition of the soil. In Luke 8, you see there's four different kinds of soil, and this is such a familiar passage. But what a great reminder, because there's a bit of a progression here. The first soil is hard as a rock. You know, I just picture Jesus is sitting there outside talking to this whole group. It said that people had come from all over, from different cities around, and they had to walk to get there. So they've passed field after field, walking down the hard trail, many of them barefoot or in sandals. They know the pain and how hard that road was. And Jesus said, you know what? That's the way some hearts are. But when you start sowing seed, you just sow it everywhere. You don't look to say, okay, this is perfect soil, so I'm going to save all my seed for here. Jesus said, just sow the seed. Just love on people. You know what? If they don't get saved today, that's okay. But if you sow love, it may start to soften that hardened heart. If you actually just sow love by listening and ask people, what's going on? The hard soil, they need a lot of love. It's his kindness that brings us to repentance, that softens the hardened heart. The dry soil, they need encouragement. There's not a lot of depth there. They need affirmation. They need repeated watering. They may need you to over and over and over again just show up. Just be a friend. And watch and see how one day they may open up and get to that place where you've built trust, and now they're going to share something. Listen for that story. And then there's the dry soil. Sorry, the cluttered soil. They're worried. They're distracted. They've got false gods, really, things that they thought would satisfy instead of the one true living God. The cares of this world, the pleasures of life, the riches of this world. The cares of this world literally means being double-minded. It's like there's a part of you that wants to follow God, but then there's this other part that keeps taking you away, going totally opposite. And isn't that the way of the enemy? 1 Peter, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. For the enemy, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He's prowling around trying to distract you, divide your attention, divide your focus, and those around you from following after God, from allowing the seed of the word of God to take root in people's lives. Cluttered soil. Listen to their story. And look for ways, this is a fresh challenge for me, look for ways to bring the conversation back to their story. I can get so excited telling you my story and every single detail about it, those who know me, right? Here's a way to do that. Use people's name. That's the word they hear most of all in their life, is their own name. Use their name. Bring the attention back to them and allow them to take the opportunity to just tell their story. Now, I know some of you are really good at this. And by God's grace, I'm excited to get better. I'm believing that God's going to help me to do it. That's a good thing. Look for things that you have in common. Hobbies or sports, TV shows, kids' activities, food, restaurants you like to go to. Look for those things and just start a conversation. Get them talking. And just watch and let God take it. Take it a step further. Ask questions that allow them to tell their story. When you do, you're going to understand not only their interests, but their needs, their hurts, their dreams. And they'll start to open up little by little, just like the progression of that soil from the hard path to the rocky soil. Now, you didn't see the rocks on top of the soil. They were just underneath the surface. You don't know what it looks like from the outside. Are they rocky soil? Are they cluttered soil? You don't know what's going to spring up with that seed that would distract them. Or is it good soil? The good heart, the hungry heart. Okay? From there, just look and see how God may want to bring them from that place that they're far away from hearing Jesus to that place that they're ready. You know, like just before ground zero, right? You can be the one who might bring them one step closer. It's okay to be that person, to bring them one step closer. Sherry Riley told us a story in our Disciple Maker small group over the summer of a lifeguard that she befriended when she would go and swim and work out, and her name was Miranda. And Sherry got to know her story. Miranda grew up in church, but now from her interaction with her, it sounded more like she was living with her boyfriend, not really walking with Jesus. And as Sherry talked about her, because she was a college student, she'd ask her about how was school going and just get her to have conversation. Now, I love this. Sherry asked her what her schedule was, and then Sherry designed her workout routine to make sure that she went the days that Miranda was the lifeguard. She was intentional to discover her story. Right? She developed a friendship with the purpose of discovering the story and finding out about Miranda and what was going on. And she waited for the opportunity to share and prayed. And she had a chance to say, hey, can I forward you this text with a link to something you can check out online? It was an online version of the Steps to Peace with God. Miranda looked at it and they had a nice conversation about it. It really stirred some things in her. Miranda hasn't prayed yet to ask Jesus to be the Lord of her life, but there are seeds that are planted, and the end of the story is not yet written. Well, Sherry said, hey, wait, you know Sherry, that's not the only one. Let me tell you about another lifeguard named Lauren. I'm like, oh, there's more. And she said, yeah, Lauren, a couple years ago I met at a pool. We built a relationship over a year's time, and I invited her to church. She came, and she prayed. And she asked Jesus to be the Lord of her life as a result of that. Then she moved away. We stayed in contact. God put her in a church, and a lady came up to her, started talking to her and introduced her and said, hi, my name's Sherry. And Sherry said, Lauren's had some difficulties. There's been challenges and bumps in the road. But she's seen God at work. because she just took time to listen to people's stories. It took a year. Be in it for the long haul. I said before, God has just shown me, hey, look at how I've given you opportunities with kids. Every summer, for the last many years, I've gone and been a counselor at Camp Shiloh and gotten to know the boys and just, you know, we play hard and we enjoy a lot of time together, but I look for those one-on-one moments when they'll just start to open up and I can just catch a glimpse into something that's going on in their lives. And those are the God moments that keep me coming back, even though it's exhausting and challenging and all the things that go along with it. But then I come back the next year and here they are. And some of those boys said, I asked for you again. I want you as my counselor again. Some of those boys I've had 2 or 3 years in a row. And just the opportunity to pour into them. Maybe there's no dad in the picture. One of them lives with grandma. The other one, mom and dad are around, but lives with grandma just because life is a mess at home. And just being there to love on these guys and to see what God wants to do. What an opportunity to just discover someone's story. At Flower City Work Camp last year, I met a man named Juan. We were at a street not far from here, just off of Portland Ave, and we're, you know, set up with a tarp, and there's a pop-up tent, and the kids are all sitting on the tarp, because, you know, the Rochester weather and spring break, and you never know what it's going to look like, and they're all huddled under there, but Juan was sitting outside the tent. He's kind of leaning up against the house next to us, and God said, go over and talk to him. So I had to make the choice to just stand up, walk over, and just engage him in conversation. So I just asked him how he was doing, what was going on. And he started to share, you know, these, you know, a couple of the kids were his. You know, one of them was a cousin, and just started to open up. Just started talking about, hey, what does it mean to be a dad? And he started asking questions about being a dad. I had just met him. But the more I listened to his story, God just gave me opportunity to encourage him and just to talk to him right there, a total stranger. But just what a great opportunity. Look for those opportunities. It may be when you're out walking your dog or taking out the trash, or you're at that family picnic that you really didn't want to go to. But God's got something more for you than you know. You're at the kids' playground, you're in the checkout line in the store, and I'm in a hurry and want to get going. God's like, don't miss what's going on in that cashier's life. Ask. Ask the question. Living in 3D, the third thing is discern the next steps. This is where it gets exciting, because this is where you realize it's a God thing. Holy Spirit, you show me. You show me what you want me to do. Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father doing, right? Yeah. He was in constant communion with the Father, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, saying, God, what do you want me to do next? Oh, you want me to go over here? Oh, look up. Oh, there's Zacchaeus in the tree. Okay, Zacchaeus, I want to go to your house today. Then they're on the way from Jerusalem up to Galilee, and Jesus stops by a well, and there's a woman by the well, and next thing you know, she's spilling her guts because he was sensitive. The disciples were hungry. He was too. But he said, no, this is my food, even more than the other food. And over, if it was accommodating Nicodemus and his nervousness and his fear to meet him at night, it was the man who was brought in on a stretcher by his four friends. He needed to be healed, but Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven, because he saw something more. He discerned. He was listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I want you to live the same way. He said, greater things than these you will do, because I go to the Father and I send the Holy Spirit. Greater things than these will you do. You can do it. God will lead you to see. Because Jesus called out in Matthew 4:19, come follow me and I'll show you how to fish for the souls of men. Sharing Jesus is a lot like fishing. You know, one of the things that I found, I am not an expert fisherman, but I have found that fishing is a little bit more gentle than hunting. Let's think about that for a minute. In fishing, pretty much anyone can fish, Now, there's guys that are more successful than others. But in theory, if you take a pole and a line, maybe with a little bit of help to bait the hook, you can throw it out, and you may well catch a fish. In hunting, I'm thinking it takes a little more practice, a little more skill, okay? You can do it. Anyone can fish. I believe it. Now, here's something else I learned. Fish have a choice. That deer doesn't have a choice, unless you're a bad shot. It really wasn't up to the deer anyway. Fish have a choice whether or not they're going to nibble on the bait. And they may nibble and then come back and nibble some more and come back. And you get to play this little game. Isn't that the same thing as sowing seed? People have a choice to hear. And it's the kindness of God. And it's being led by the Spirit to see what the need is at this point. Where are they on the scale of being as far away from Christ as possible to being this close to ground zero and the place of impact and getting saved? And the Holy Spirit will show you. And he'll show you the condition of their heart. He'll show you what to do. And afterwards, you're like, oh, that's why you wanted me to do that. Can I help them get one more step closer to following Jesus? You find there's different kinds of bait for different fish. Amen. And there's different ways to share the love of Jesus with different people. So just some practical steps. Just show up is number one. Just show up. Get close to people who need Jesus. Like I said before, be intentional about making friends with people who need to know Jesus. Take that step. You're part of a softball team? Invite some unbelievers, right, to be part of the team with you, some who aren't walking with the Lord, and use it as an opportunity just to rub shoulders. I don't know, maybe it's bowling. Maybe it's a book club. Maybe it's a writing class. You know what it might be. You have opportunities to rub shoulders with people who don't know Jesus. Be intentional and just show up and see what God will do. For me, the Lord has said, I want you to invite people to a neighborhood picnic. Take all the houses that surround you and just invite them and let me do the rest. I'm like, okay, God, I can do that. Because remember, where you live, where you shop, where you go to school, where you work, where you play is for a reason. So just show up and ask the Holy Spirit, who do I go after? Who do you want to go after? You know, the next thing is be in it. Be committed for the long haul. What if it takes a year? What if it's years later like Linda? And then I saw the fruit. And I'm sure I was not the only one. Someone else invited her to that Bible study. Someone else was reaching out to her. I was only one part of it. But be committed. You know, as a church, we've been committed to seeing God transform this community. I remember years ago as New Jerusalem Church, we had people call us and say, are you a Jewish community center? They weren't sure what we were, who we were. You know, and we were praying for the neighborhood, and we were reaching out to the kids in the neighborhood and doing, you know, evangelism with drama and kids club and block parties and all these different things. And just being faithful and making the statement that, you know what, we're in this for the long haul. Now, I walk over to school 25 on last Friday, met the social worker, and she says, I know you. I know Joy Community. You guys are doing an awesome work. Keep it up. God is the one who is faithful. But he's allowed us to be faithful because it's his reputation. And he just says, stay in it. Stay in the game. Now, the next encouragement, number three, just be yourself. I can't share the gospel the same way that Sherry Riley does. She's really good at it. She encourages me. She challenges me. But you know, I can be myself. I can reach out to kids, and I can serve people. I can do that. And I've seen God give me opportunities. In fact, as I was preparing for this, God has shown me more opportunities than I realized. You know, I can be friendly in the supermarket. I can walk up to somebody and just start a conversation. My wife can look and say, okay, I can do that, though. I can connect with people. And you know what? There's ways that you can connect with people. And how exciting to discover it, to look for what those ways are. The next thing, just practice things that you have in common. I said before, is it softball? You know, line up your schedule at the gym so that you can go work out with somebody who's not saved. Be purposeful. Okay, Rick Warren talks about living a purpose-driven life. Be purposeful and watch and see how you can rub shoulders with people and let people see Jesus in you. Another way that you can do that is be a resource. You can say to people, hey, I just want to encourage you. Have you ever considered reading this book? Rick Warren's book's a great book. He's retitled it. I think it's What on Earth Am I Here For? Okay? Give somebody a copy of the book, right? And just say, hey, I thought you might want to read this. Now, you might want to say, hey, here's a web link I thought you might want to check out. Or someone's asking about, you know, how do I do this with kids? Or what did you do when your boss was doing this or whatever? And just be a resource to people. Offer to pray for them. You know, share stories from your own life as you're listening to their story. Amen. And watch and see what God's going to do. It may take a risk. Be willing to take the risk, because the reward far outweighs the fear in the middle of it. I kind of look at it like this, like a treasure hunt. Isaiah 45, in fact, says this in verse 2. It says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. There's treasures that are hidden right now in darkness, in the darkness of sin, in secret places. But God knows how to get there. In fact, he's saying, will you be a treasure hunter? What an awesome opportunity just to be led by the Spirit. I was talking to Cheryl Palmer the other day, and we were talking about a time when her uncle, his name was Jesse, had Alzheimer's. And Uncle Jesse had grown up in Texas. He grew up speaking English and Spanish. And as the Alzheimer's progressed, he started reverting and speaking less and less English and more Spanish. Now, this was several years ago. We were taking missions trips down to Mexico as a church at the time. Cheryl had been very involved in that, and so she was practicing Spanish. And one Christmas, she noticed Uncle Jesse sitting in the corner. And she just went over to him. And there happened to be a children's book there in Spanish. She just picked it up and started reading it to him. And his eyes just lit up. You know, and he responded back in Spanish, and she caught a little bit of what he was saying, but she just noticed what an opportunity. A little later on, he was in the hospital, and he was not doing well. The Holy Spirit said, Cheryl, I want you to go, and I want you to pray with your uncle. She's like, I don't know how to do this. She went out of obedience, and she just started singing a worship song over him that she had learned in Spanish. And he just squeezed her hand, and she could tell that he understood. And then she asked him in Spanish, do you want to know Jesus? And he answered, and she prayed with him in broken Spanish, and she led him to Christ right there, just out of obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading. Just discern what it is that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. For me, it's just being obedient. God has said, you don't have much of a relationship with your dad, pick up the phone and call him. Don't wait for him. Make the effort. Call him and say, hey, I'd like to get together. He lives in Peña and I live in Henrietta. Offer to meet him in Canandaigua. I talked to him the other day. He was thrilled. I started calling him every couple weeks just to stay connected. You know, after the first or second time, he's like, oh, what's up? You know, I'm like, well, Dad, I want to work on our relationship. I was thinking to myself, Dad, I want to have a relationship. Right? Just being intentional, being led by the Holy Spirit, and watch and see what God will do. Amen. Pastor James spoke last week about having an impact list. Well, when you came in today, you got a card. If you didn't, the ushers have some, and there's some on the table right by the door back there. An impact list. If you didn't get one, I encourage you to get one on the way out. Or Steve's here. If anybody needs an impact list card, he can get you one of those. But this is the opportunity for you to be salt and light. Thanks, PJ. And here's what you have. You have an opportunity to write down three names. Now, there's suggestions here, family member, neighbor, coworker. They could all be from the same category. That's okay. But three people that you are going to pray for and work on developing that friendship. And pray for an opportunity to listen and hear their story. And along with discovering the story, then to discern the next step. And just be led by the Holy Spirit. And see what God will do. Living in 3D, it's an exciting journey. Because you also got an invite to our Easter service. Hopefully you got several. Take as many as you want. We will print as many as you want. As long as you promise to give them away. Don't throw them away. Don't leave them sitting in the pile with the mail on the counter. Don't leave them sitting in the car. Give them away. It's a real easy way, very low risk, just to say, hey, if you don't have plans for Easter, I just wanted to invite you to Joy Community. It's real simple, straightforward. You're invited to Easter, and there's the date, Joy Community Church. You can turn it over in the back. You can write the address of the church down so that they know in case they don't. Okay, service times are on the front, 9 and 11. Okay. But what a great opportunity just to hand that to somebody and encourage them, being intentional. How can I live my life in 3D? Will you? Will I live my life in 3D? Make a plan. Invite the Holy Spirit to show you what he has in store. Because it's not just for them, it's also for you. Because you're blessed in the process. Let's stand together. We'd just like to commit ourselves this morning to being willing. Perhaps you've tried in the past and it's not gone well. And you're like, I don't know if I can do that again. Not sure I'm willing to take that risk. It hurt. You know, all the memory comes flooding back. Perhaps you're really not sure. I don't want to risk losing this friend. I don't know if I would know what to say. I'm not an evangelist. We can all do something. Everyone can take a stick and put a line on it and at least throw it in the water. I'm not going to guarantee you're going to catch something, but everybody can at least do that. And with God's help, when it comes to fishing for souls, we can all do it. Because Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. All God is saying is, are you willing? Because God says, I'll do it. I'll give you the power. In fact, he said, when you stand before rulers and kings and officials, I'll give you the words to say. All you got to do is show up. So let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for the call to be available. You called us to build those bridges. In fact, the vision of Joy is to build bridges into the community and beyond so that all might find hope, find love, and find God. Lord, we want to be intentional to build bridges so that people who don't know Jesus will come to know you and to be discipled. Lord, we want to be a part of sowing the seeds of the gospel. Lord, we want to be available. And I pray, Father, for those who have tried before and feel like they failed, that you would encourage them, that maybe you would just give them a glimpse, that they would see that it's actually been more fruitful than they realize. Maybe like Linda, that it's years later before we see. For those who have been hurt and are kind of gun-shy, just ask for healing to come. I ask that you would encourage the hearts of brothers and sisters here to say, yes, I can do this. God, if you will help me, I can do this. God, I'm going to trust you. You're a big enough God. I'm going to believe in you afresh, that you're going to give me creative ways, simple ways, but creative ways to share the gospel, even if it's just with a smile, a hug, a listening ear, an invitation to Easter service, asking somebody how their day was. It's all steps. It's all sowing seeds of the word of God. And you will help us to do it. I'm convinced because you said so. And because it's your heart that none would perish. God, help us to remember how amazing your love is, Lord, that we came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, let us not forget the cross. Let us not forget the power of salvation, of what you've set us free from, and that amazing love that others need to know that they're hurting, they're wounded, they're dying. Lord, your heart breaks for the lost. Give us your heart to be willing to invest the time, to be in it for the long haul, to say, God, I'm going to be counted as one who's in it. Lord, I may not be great at it, but I can be stubborn. I can be stubborn for Jesus. Yeah. I can be a friend and say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here. Through the thick and thin, I'm going to be here and make friends with the lost, the hurting, neighbors or coworkers or family members. God, use us. Use us. I pray for your fresh anointing. I pray that you give us wisdom and discernment in the Holy Spirit. I pray that you stir in us an excitement. Let faith arise to say, oh, maybe this is the one. God, I've been praying. Oh, this is the one. It's like a treasure hunt. How awesome, how exciting. The treasures of the souls hidden in darkness. What a discovery. What a privilege. God, you're so awesome. You're so awesome. Thank you, Lord. We choose right now. We pray for those, Lord God, by faith that are on our impact list. Lord, I lift up this list. I lift up John at the auto stop. I lift up Jamie, my neighbor. I lift up my dad to you. Lord, I'm believing in you by faith that they're going to come to know you, Father, and everyone that they represent here, that each one of us have lists, whether it's written on the card yet or not. We're believing you that you are going to touch their lives. Lord, that this is the day of salvation, that we will see you do something in their lives for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you have never taken the time or had the opportunity to say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life, you have an opportunity today to do that very thing. That even now, I encourage you, you can come up and I'd be happy to talk to you and to share with you and encourage you of the love that Jesus Christ has for you. Don't leave without hearing of God's awesome plan for your life. If you need prayer for any reason, I want to encourage the prayer team, invite the prayer team to come up, and Pastor Deborah's here and Charisse, and God is good. God is good and he's doing amazing things. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.